I don't want to tell you too much about where we're going next because it's a place in New South Wales where magic happens. From the outside, it looks like a pretty normal house. But as you get a bit closer, you can tell this is a place where lives are changed. So we've pulled up. Let's get out of the car and find out about the people and the pooches behind the Maitland Assistance Dogs team. You ready?
So this is JB, John Boy.
Hi, John Boy.
If he stays in a sit, you can pat him. Okay. But if he gets up, you have to stop patting.
Okay, great. Yep.
Okay, JB, stay.
What a good boy.
Good boy, well done.
Hi, my name's Carmel, and everybody knows me as Fudge, the dog trainer. So Fudge, Caramel, Caramel Fudge. That's been with me for more than 30 years, so I'm going to keep that one. So at the moment, we're at the MAD headquarters, and we're located in East Maitland.
The MAD headquarters sounds like something out of Alice in Wonderland. What is it actually?
Yep, the MAD headquarters, MAD, Miracle Assistance Dogs. We make miracles happen on a regular basis.
What sort of assistance do you train them in?
Okay, so we train them across all the disabilities, and the only one that we don't train for is guide dogs, obviously. So we're approved for assistance dogs and hearing dogs. So assistance dogs cover every disability. I just had a wonderful story sent to me yesterday by one of our clients, and she has brain cancer. And she sent me an email going back about 6 months ago. And she said, fantastic. She said, my dog has just cured my cancer. I've been and seen the specialist. No more cancer. Then a few months later, they found that she did have cancer again and she needed to go on chemotherapy again, her third time in her life. A few days ago, I got an email and it was written as though it was from the dog. And it said, hi, Mum wants to let you know that I've saved her life again. I've cured her again. It's my golden fur. She has a golden retriever. Mm-hmm. And it's the stories like that that we have come in on a regular basis. Most of the time we can't share the stories for the privacy for our clientele. Mm-hmm. But this lady, Lisa, she said, no, tell the world I've been cured again.
I think a lot of people, you know guide dogs, they know hearing dogs. We're getting a little bit more familiar with dogs for things like epilepsy and autism as well. But where does mental health come into this?
Okay, so PTSD is a big one for mental health, but severe anxiety. I've just had an application come through for someone who's got chronic claustrophobia. They haven't been out of their house in 3 years. Yeah. So they've been under the care of a psychiatrist through all of that time. So we have the medical requirements that we need. We can get the paperwork done. So we're looking at whether we can accommodate that person. But it doesn't really matter what the diagnosis is, so long as you're being treated by a medical professional for at least 6 months, we can take a look at whether we can assist you with that dog. But I must say, we get more applications than we can fill.
And what can a dog do for PTSD, for mental health, for those sort of areas of our lives?
Let's take a return serviceman with PTSD, and perhaps he has a fear of being touched. As a result, we can train the dog to stand across the front of them and become a bit of a block across the front, across the side, or at the back. So you walk into a lift, you've got PTSD, you're afraid of going into shopping centres as it is, a little bit claustrophobic, you have to get into a lift to get to the floor that you want to be on. You're not going to try the travelator because it's too busy. You go into the lift and there's other people in there, the dog will put up a block. He will just stand there and not budge. No matter what people do to him, he's not going to budge because he's going to stop people from getting to you. Or if you get into an empty lift and others are coming in, again, he'll stand in front and form that block. We have a young lady with PTSD and she's not returned service personnel. She's got another story in her life. And she picks her nails to the point where she picks her nails off.
Oh, gosh.
So that's a repetitive behaviour that's harmful. So we've trained the dog. As soon as she starts clicking her nails, the dog gets its nose and nudges at her and nudges at her and nudges at her. And if she doesn't stop, he gets very insistent and then he's allowed to jump up on her. And then 9 times out of 10, that's enough for her to go, oh, okay, got to stop that.
These are quite specific treatments and behaviours that you have to teach a dog for the individual client. How do you do that?
Patience. A lot of patience. Okay, we use a technique called free shaping. Mm-hmm. And to go into it, it's just basically we put the dog in a room. We've got the room set up so that the dog will do a particular behaviour. So, for instance, I've been training JB to pick up a lead and bring it to me. Now, he'll pick up a ball and put it in a bowl for me, but he won't pick up the lead. And dogs don't generalise, so he doesn't see the lead as the same as the ball. So we have to start from the beginning. So what I do is I put the lead on the ground and I show him that I've got my clicker, show him that I've got some treats, and then I just stand there and wait to see if he'll interact with it. Once he starts to interact with it, I can click the interaction. So to start with, he just touches his nose to it. Eventually, he actually picks it up and brings it over to me. Yeah. But it's a long process. It's taken 4 weeks to do that one with JV, only because he didn't want to pick up that lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know if a dog's going to work or not pretty early as a puppy?
Yeah, we have had a couple where we've gone, you know, this isn't going to work. But I've got to tell you, every time the teenager comes in to me from the puppy carer has them for between 9 to 14 months of age, and every time a teenager comes in to me, I go, I don't know if this one's going to work out. And they all do.
You mentioned JB's a Labradoodle. Australian Labradoodle, you've mentioned Golden Retrievers in there and Labradors. Are they the breeds that you work with, or can any dog be trained in this sort of situation?
We have a pretty unique service that we offer, which sees us with quite a few different dogs going through. So it can be a German Shepherd, it can be a Cavoodle, it could be a any kind of dog, any kind of dog. Chihuahuas are great for diabetic alert. Yeah, they're small, they get in your face. If you're sitting down, if you're standing up, they can grab a hold of your trousers, they can paw at you, and it's pretty annoying when you've got a chihuahua pawing at you to remind you to take your diabetic medication. The program that we offer that sees us training lots of different dogs is that we will train a person with their own pet dog if it qualifies, and that's something that isn't being done by too many others in Australia.
Out in the community, you know, there's a lot of understanding around guide dogs in particular. We teach that to kids when we're really young. JB's wearing a beautiful blue jacket at the moment that says assistance dog. Do you think we have enough understanding around what that means if JB was out with his person in public?
No, absolutely not. And that's why I do, once a year, I go up and down the east coast of Australia and I run seminars to try and inform everybody exactly what the process is, what they do and how it works. Some people don't like dogs and they'll just put in a complaint because the dog was walking with the handler through a shopping centre. Mm. So, you know, we have to provide the evidence that the dog's had the training in the shopping centre, walking past the meat section, not eating all the meat as it goes. Mm. Yeah, little things like that. If we have a look at JB's coat, JB, come out here. JB's coat has a circle patch on it, mm-hmm. and it's the Miracle Assistance Dog patch. When he's qualified, he'll also have another patch, which is issued by the Queensland Government, saying that he has been approved as an assistance dog. So it's those round patches that you're looking for on the coat, not just the words assistance dog.
What about your own story, Carmel? Because a little birdie told me that, you know, you have a bit of a story when it comes to this as well.
Yeah, well, 20 years ago, I was catatonic for 3 years and it was due to mental health. So I was made a ward of the state and my husband was told, walk away, she'll never come back. Her mind is lost. And fortunately, he didn't listen to the doctors and he fought the courts to have me released to his custody. And it was training the dogs that and his love that brought me back.
So were you already training the dogs at that stage or that brought you to them?
I've trained animals all my life, yeah. So I realised that I needed to do something to help myself, and so I started training our dog, and that led me to becoming an instructor at a dog training club again, and that led me to dog obedience competition, and then I started my own business again with dogs. I had a very successful dog training business privately, and I had so many inquiries from people with disabilities, could we please help them train their dog? And I thought, there's a real need here. We'll start a charity beside the business. The charity now is the business. My business is gone and we're all volunteers, so we all do it for the love.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it about the dogs that you think helped get you to where you are today?
I think it's just that there's no judgment. And, yeah, if you make a mistake, yeah, if you have a bad day and you yell at them, they forgive you instantly. Yeah, and I don't have too many of those bad days, thankfully, but I know a lot of people that do. Mm. And the dogs just They'll just take it in their stride. And it's amazing when I walk into a household and someone will tell me something about their dog and I look at the dog. And I read dogs. So I'll just do something with my body language without saying a word and the dog will come over and sit in front of me and look up at me adoringly. And the owners are like, how did you do that? And it's because I understand that they communicate with body language. So I use body language back with them. And when I teach that to our handlers, it makes such a big difference with the dog being able to work happily.
All right. Well, Elfie, if you're listening this morning, Fudgy's going to come over and have some stern words with you a little bit later today, I think. What do you hope for the future of Mad?
Oh, we have big plans.
I love that.
I could bring out my drawing board. At the moment, the big plan is to get the organisation out of our house. We've done a lot in the last few years since 2011, and our big coup last year was becoming an approved assistance dog and hearing dog training institution. We were so thrilled to get that on our first try. So many organisations and individuals are turned around, so it was a big coup for us. So now we're putting everything together to apply for Assistance Dogs International accreditation or membership, and that takes a few years. So we're onto that one now. Then during the process of that, we have some trainers starting to come on, but we need more. And once we get a few more trainers, we might actually have enough income to be able to be more independent. Mm. At the moment, my husband is very much the philanthropic support for the organisation. So once we get out of here and the organisation is independent, I will be going, yay, I have my house back. But that's only the first step then. We then need to develop till we get our own property and then build a headquarters that will become Miracle Assistance Dogs and train people from all over Australasia.
Yeah, are you always looking for volunteers? Is that what training is, or how does that work?
Yeah, look, we're looking for volunteers all the time. The training can only be done by approved trainers, and it's very hard to find somebody that has the credentials that will let us get them through that approval. So we run a mentoring program for those that would like to go through that. But as I said, everybody's a volunteer. Mm. We also need volunteers for everything else, for administration, for fundraising.
Well, it's been lovely to meet you. JB, thank you. Now sleeping on the floor doing the perfect assistance dog thing. Thank you so much.
I'll take his coat off in a minute and he'll jump all over you.
That was Carmel or Fudge from Maitland Assistant Dogs and the very well-trained JB. It was incredible to see when Carmel did take off his jacket, how he went from that working mode to that play mode very, very quickly. The team are all volunteers. They do amazing work with the humans who are going to eventually own them, live with them. JB is going to be a very helpful boy when he finishes his training, and we're learning that there's so much more dogs can be trained to assist you in so many parts of your life.